Chapter 8. Bridget tucks the hot water bottle beneath the covers against my belly.
Poor dear, she says. It's always such a bother. I've had me troubles with the curse, and having to be on about my duties through it all. No rest for the weary, I can tell you that.
I am in no humour to hear about our long-suffering housekeeper's aches and pains. Once she starts, there's no stopping her, and I'll be hearing about her rheumatism, her poor eyesight, and the time she once nearly worked for the household of the Prince of Wales's 12th cousin 4 times removed. Thank you, Bridget. I think I'll rest now, I say, closing my eyes.
Of course, lamb. Rest is what you need. Rest is the thing. Why, I remember when I was to work for a very fine lady. She'd once been lady's maid to the cousin of the Duchess of Dorset, who was as respectable a lady as could be found, I tell you.
Bridget? It's Felicity, trailed by Anne. I believe I saw the parlourmaid slipping below stairs for a game of cards. I thought you might want to know. Bridget places her fists on her meaty hips.
They've no leave from me. These new girls, they don't know their place. In my day, the housekeeper was the law.
Bridget harumps past us, muttering under her breath the while.
Off to cards. We'll see about that.
Were they really off to cards? I ask Felicity, once Bridget is gone.
Of course not. I needed to dispatch her somehow.
How are you feeling? Anne asks, blushing.
Wretched, I answer.
Felicity sits on the edge of my bed.
Do you mean to say that this is the first time you've been inconvenienced by your monthly illness?
Yes, I snap, feeling a bit like an exotic, misunderstood animal. In addition to the hot water bottle, I've been packed off to bed with some strong tea and a tiny bit of brandy, compliments of Mrs. Nightwing, who insisted that in this case the brandy was medicinal and not licentious. The tea has gone cold and bitter, but the brandy is soothing. It dulls the pulsing throb in my belly. I have never felt more ridiculous. If this is what it means to be a woman, I am not the slightest bit interested.
Poor Gemma, Anne says, patting my hand. In public, no less. How embarrassing for you.
I could not be more humiliated than I am now. If I may be so bold, may I ask, when did you commence with... I trail off. Felicity moves to my table, where she examines my things. She runs my brush through her white blonde hair.
Years ago.
Of course she did. How silly of me to ask. I look to Anne, who blushes the colour of a radish instantly.
Oh, we shouldn't talk of such things.
Quite right, I say, fingering the edge of my bed linen with great care.
She's probably not yet a woman, Felicity says coolly.
Anne is up in protest.
I am? For 6 months now?
6 months. There you are. She's practically an expert on the subject.
I try to get out of bed, but Anne pushes me back down.
Oh, no, you mustn't move about. It isn't good for you in your present state.
But how am I to go about my life?
You simply have to endure this. It's our punishment as daughters of Eve. Why do you think they call it the curse?
A low rumble pulls across my stomach, making me feel heavy and irritable.
Really? And what curse befalls the Adams of the world?
Anne opens her mouth and, presumably thinking of nothing to say, closes it again. It is Felicity who answers, her eyes steely.
They are weak to temptation, and we are their temptresses.
The word temptation conjures Kartik in my mind. Kartik and warnings. The magic loose in the realms. The temple. There's something I need to tell you, I begin. I tell them about Kartik's visit, about my task and the strange vision I saw during the pantomime. When I finish, they are wide-eyed.
I've goose flesh. Just think of it. All that magic loose for anyone to use, Felicity says.
I cannot say whether she is frightened or thrilled at this prospect. Anne's troubled.
But how could you find the temple where you can't enter the realms?
I'd forgotten my lie. There is no way around it now. I shall have to confess. I pull the linens to my neck, make myself small in the bed.
The truth is, I haven't actually tried to enter. Not since Pippa.
Felicity's glare could shatter glass.
You lied to us. Yes, I know. I'm sorry. I wasn't ready.
You could have said as much, Anne mutters, hurt.
I am sorry. I thought it best.
Felicity's grey eyes are like the sharpest flint.
Do not lie to us again, Gemma. It will be a betrayal of the Order.
I don't like the way she says this, but I'm in no mood to argue now. I nod and reach for the brandy.
When shall we go into the realms? Anne asks. Shall we meet at midnight?
Felicity half begs.
Oh, I cannot wait to see it all again.
I'm in no condition tonight, I say. They can hardly argue with that.
Very well, then,
Felicity says, sighing.
Rest.
What is it? Anne asks, reading my expression.
It's probably nothing, really. I was just thinking that the last thing I remember before falling under was Miss McCleavy's face. She was looking at me in the most curious way, as if she knew all my secrets.
A devilish grin lights up Felicity's full mouth.
You mean the fair but exacting Miss McCleavy, she says, imitating our new teacher's strange brogue.
This makes me laugh in spite of everything.
If she's an old friend of Nightwing's, she's doubtless a hideous prig who will make our lives a misery, I say, still giggling.